let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. As soon as Gregory Oliver was arrested for a murder and assault that his mentally ill brother committed, he set out on the course to prove just how a judicial system that he believed in could be so corrupt that they would concoct a story that would send an innocent man away for the rest of his life. He couldn't fight it alone, so from the time he was locked up in St. Louis City Jail, he prayed that the Lord would send someone who would believe in his innocence to help him. Little did he know, his help was coming from a woman from Michigan who fought alongside him until the governor commuted his sentence. The fight didn't end there because there were still the scars on his name. He entered a fight that would take years to unravel the corruption and legal ties that surrounded his name. He never wavered in his faith in the Lord's leading. He discovered that through all of this, the Lord moves in steps and stages, and in his heart, he was able to be walking free in the Word of God. Born in the inner city of St. Louis, Missouri, Gregory encountered all the situations a young man from the inner city encounters. Fortunately, he received the foundation from his father and mother. From a youth, everyone commented on his smile. He wore it continually, no matter his environment. In his late teens, he enlisted in the Army, served two enlistments, 6 years. It's been said encouragement should be his middle name, because after you meet him and allow him to share with you, when you leave his company, you know you've been blessed. Walking free from bondage to liberty is his powerful story, and Gregory Oliver is our guest on This Week in America. Gregory, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
And it's great to be here, Rick. I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir.
It is a pleasure to have you here, and this is such a powerful story. And we'll give you all the information of where the book's available as we talk with Greg throughout the program. But what prompted you to write this book after all you were through to go back, relive so much of this, to write this book to help other people? What prompted you to write Walking Free?
That's exactly it, Rick. What it is it was the testimonies and stories of other people who had went through different situations and struggles that encouraged me. Like one book in particular was by Corey Team Boom. That was the one that encouraged me. And another story that I end up in and learned something from was In the Name of the Father. And it had so much relations and many other stories that I come across in my life that I saw people that went through struggles that was real, and they come out of it in one way or another better than they were, and they overcome the problems that they faced. And I knew that the Lord had promised me he was going to bring me out of this mess that I found myself in. And I just trusted him, and it prompted me that I had to do something to probably try to give to the people and let them know that if you run into struggles, trials, tribulations, that you need to keep hope and never give up. And I coined the word while I was inside, don't give up, get up. And that's one of the reasons I felt I needed to write this song, put it on paper and pen, and just make sure that people be able to be helped in situations, yes, that they're going through, especially in this time and day.
When you read the reviews, you're doing that. And again, it would have been so easy to say, that's behind me. I don't want to live it. I'm going to look forward. I'm going to get rid of the rearview mirror. I'm going to focus on what lies ahead. But what happened to you has happened to so many people in similar circumstances, maybe not to that extent, maybe not being jailed, but problems, turmoil in their lives. And you help all of us get through that. And the book is so well written. The book is Walking Free from Bondage to Liberty by Gregory Oliver. His website is gregoliverwalkingfree.com. Book available at Amazon, the publisher, appraisalpublishing.com. I'll give you all of that during the program, all the information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about, this is a sequel to your wife's book, Faith Book, and we've had the chance to talk with your wife, Bonnie Oliver, about her book. What is it you intend to get across to your readers? What do you hope the takeaway is when people read Walking Free?
I hope that they can understand how God never leaves us alone. He makes a promise to each and every one of us that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so the good thing about walking free, it is more of not a journey in itself, but an experience that God has allowed me to go through, and an adventure, a spiritual adventure that even though there was troubles, trials, tribulations, mountaintops and valleys, those situations, God showed me that I can overcome them. And I believe that we need to learn to live an overcoming life. I hope that it'll help the readers to understand that you could be going through the worst thing in your life, but there is an answer to solve that problem. You just have to know how to reach down deep within inside yourself and into the prayer that God has taught you how to pray and believe in his word. And he, you'll find an answer if you never give up. And most people, before they see the miracle, they usually give up.
Well, and you did not. And it's such an inspiration because there were so many points in your life, as you talk about in Walking Free, when it would have been pretty easy to say, okay, you win, I lose, this is my life, and try to adjust to that. And for Gregory, that just didn't happen. Did you ever think, with all the horrible things that were happening to you, you would ever, first of all, come out of it, and second of all, write a book about it? Did that ever occur to you during this entire period?
You know, I know that a lot of people will say in themselves, but myself, I looked at it like this, that the Lord made a promise to me that he would bring me out. I believed him, but the reality of seeing that manifest in the real was not there because of so much negativity that was around, so many things that looked like it was just an impossibility. But I knew that our God that I believe in is an impossible working, miracle working God, and he can do things that we can't do. And I had to trust, but I knew that I needed help with this because I was dealing with men who God has given free will to operate and to function out of that free will that he gives them. And I know that he will not really move, and even though he's sovereign, he won't move their free will. He allows them to do things, even though the things they may be doing is wrong and they may think they're right. And so that was like, oh, Lord, I just don't see it happening. You know, and I mean, it made it difficult, but I had to believe in spite of hopelessness. And that's what really, you know, it was a difficult task. And it was those situations that made me realize that, hey, am I going to ever come out of here? Am I going to ever see freedom? And the Lord, you know, just would give me encouragement to carry me along. And that's why I said other people's writings and testimonies and stories help me along the way.
Well, you're doing that now. Some people will say, I read this book by Gregory Oliver, and this really helped me turn my life around and gave me what I needed, the motivation to stay and work out my problems. Why do you think the state chose to do what they did to you, knowing you were innocent? And I say that, I touched on that in the introduction when we talked with your wife, Bonnie Oliver, the author of the book Faith Walk, the companion book for this. Everybody, it seems, even in the system, knew that you were wrongly convicted, and you wonder why. How difficult was it for you to understand how I ended up here when everybody pretty much thinks I shouldn't be here?
Well, you know, I mean, most of the people would treat me with kindness that may have thought that way, but they never told me those things. They shared that with Bonnie. But the thing of it was, is it was years later I really discovered why I think the reason that the state chose to do this. It over time, you had a head prosecutor that was corrupt, and 2 years after I was convicted of this crime, he was disbarred. And I found out that my granddad was trying to be helpful. Sometimes people can try to help you and they can do it in the wrong way. And he called the head prosecutor's office and told the head prosecutor's secretary that he was a Jet Banks, which was a high powerful senator or somebody in power. And he was so excited, he answered the phone. And when he found out it wasn't Jet Banks, he ended up in said that he was Harry Harris, which was my granddad, and he was just trying to talk to the prosecutor to see if the prosecutor would be willing to work out this problem, seeing that he had one of his grandsons that was innocent and the other one had a mental problem. And so the head prosecutor told him, said, Mr. Harris, because you have done this, I'll make sure your grandsons will never see the light of day. And I believe that was the ball that started rolling for the prosecutors that was under him to follow suit to make sure that I was locked in the system, as well as my brother, who ended up died in the system later. So
it's a chilling story on so many levels, the fact that your grandfather couldn't get through until he impersonated some prominent person. Then the prosecutor was willing to talk. And then when your grandfather is trying to do something positive for you, he dismisses him and takes retribution out on you. I mean, you'll find so much to you get outraged about as you're reading the book. But then you see Gregory has a smile on his face and he's motivated and knows this is going to work out. And you're there with him as this, you go through this walking free from bondage to liberty. The title really says it all. Greg Oliver, walkingfree.com is Greg's website. Book available at Amazon, Proisel.com, the publisher as well. Let's talk about when Bonnie entered into your life. You didn't know her. What were you thinking when she walked up to you and said that you were special and you didn't belong there? What impact did that make? Because you got to be thinking, who is this lady?
Yeah, it was such a blessing when she said those words because, you know, I know God hears our prayers, but a lot of times we know that in the Bible it says that our prayers are he keep them in a bottle as an incense and they come up before him. But so I was blessed to know that this was a prayer God had already put before me to let me know that was an answer to it. And to see somebody help, because when you're in prison, you cannot be a voice for yourself. It's almost impossible. So most of the men that are locked up or women that are locked up in our judicial process, if they locked up, they not only stripped of their rights, they're stripped of their voice. And so anything you say is really looked at as negative. They always say that everybody say they're innocent, but that's not the truth. And when I saw that and Bonnie came in and said that, I knew there was hope and I knew God had answered my prayer. And it just touched me so deeply because, and especially to see it was a white woman saying this. You know, a lot of people, you know, if you was drowning and you was in an ocean, does it make a difference if a white person or a black person come and reach their hand out to help you? And it was just a blessing to see somebody cared enough for me to say that. And it wasn't, most people have the Innocent Project, and those people pay thousands and thousands of dollars to help inmates and people to get out of prison. And I didn't have that kind of aid coming to my aid to say, hey, we're going to help you. Because normally they only take cases where DNA is involved or where, witnesses that they recanted witnesses. And I didn't want them coming in and saying, hey, get a recanted witness. I didn't need that. There was a concocted story. It was the truth. The truth needed to be the issue of the day, not a recanted witness or DNA. And when they concocted a story, it was just clear to see that that's what they done. And that's why they refused to look at the merits today. And it was such a blessing to see a woman such as her status come in and say, hey, you don't belong here.
You know, that had to be, when you think about it, this was not scientific evidence. This was not a technicality. It was the truth that you could lay out and make the case. And it follows through logically that that was not you. Knowing that you didn't have the resources that some people would have to bring on legal assistant to get you out of jail, all the injustice that's going on now, what made you think that it gave you any amount of hope that with a life sentence running consecutively with a life without parole sentence, that you would ever come out of prison? I think it would be difficult to think, maybe I still have a chance at getting out of here.
Yes. You know, the thing that we have to live with each and every day in that, you know, each and every one of us have this in our heart that our system works. And we want to believe that. And I believe that what happened is when they did what they did and every door seemed to be slammed in my face, it shattered a little more of my confidence I had in our judicial process. And it took a lot for me just to stand up and continue to keep that hope and say, there's somebody in the system that I believe that's real and that cared. And I believe that even to this day, and I still believe it. And I found that there are. But then I couldn't see it because I think that they were more interested in supporting an erroneous verdict than allowing an innocent man to walk free. And I believe that. And so even though there is evidence that we do have that's scientific and that they knew and they could see and they would ignore it, or they either withheld it or they made sure that it wasn't present before jurors. And we found out two of the jury members were stacked. They were relatives to the victim and shouldn't have been on the jury in the first place.
It's just an amazing story. Gregory Oliver, the book is Walking Free from Bondage to Liberty, available at Amazon, the usual places. His website is gregoliverwalkingfree.com. John, going by so quickly here, so much more to talk about, and we'll get a few more questions in here. The chapter in the book, one is called Prison Codes. Touch on that a little bit, if you would, please.
Yes, sir. Prison, a lot of codes that we talk about in prisons, you know, no different than we have codes, rules, and laws and procedures in the world. But in prison, there's a code that men stand by, women stand by as well. And if you are one that's constantly talking to guards, they don't want you to trust in the guards because they feel that the guards is against you. And so if you're talking to guards, they feel that you could be a snitch. And if you're snitching, they can't trust you. So it's a likelihood that if they see you around guards a lot of time and you're talking to guards, then they might even walk up behind you and stick you in the back with a knife. You never know. And they might tell you first and may warn you and they may not. But if you violate those codes can cost you either your life. And so a lot of times, you know, I found myself a lot of times helping men and praying with men and trying to show them you don't have to live by these codes. You need to live by a different standard. And that's the standard of the Lord that he has set forth for us. And I found myself to have to go by that and to live by his standard and walk in the grace of God so that that way I wouldn't have to walk by somebody's codes that was, you know, out there. And I refused to. Many times men had codes like if you walk by their cell and look in their cell, if they were messing around with a homosexual or something like that, they looking at you violating their space. That's a code. You don't do that. You don't mess with somebody else's business. And many times I found myself in their stories in the book that I found myself stepping against those codes to be able to help somebody. Because if we bound by codes, we can't really reach out and help people.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, you talk about the history of the prison as well, and it's fascinating how it changed from the penal system to basically, in many cases now, a prison for profit. Briefly, talk about that. What does that mean? What are your thoughts?
My thoughts on that is I realize from the history, when you go back, you see that the penal system, and one of the things that the good Lord taught me is I want you to study on every level of law, Judeo, Mosaic, all of the different laws that was created to actually where our system was built from following those particular laws and rules and stuff like that. So when they came up with the prison system back in the day, I think it was really meant for just like if you go to church and you repent, then you're good with God because he is the judge of all the earth. So man has adopted a lot of things from the way God done it. So there is an order of things. And so when you look back in those days when they were actually built the prisons and stuff like that, they wanted men and women who were incarcerated to, when they did wrong, they were reformed, and they call it rehabilitation at times, or they would find penance, and then they would repent of the wrong that they done, and then they would be restored back into society. When it was operating that way, I believe that the system was allowed to let itself balance out. Nowadays, it's not balancing out because you have been shifted from that to the profiteering and the it's on the Wall Street. I mean, on the market.
Oh, yes.
The market. And so all of these particular things have changed and shifted. And so it's not about getting justice. It's about how many heads we got in these prisons to continue to operate the way that they operate. And keeping these people locked up is the bottom line of that dollar. And so it's more to that than it is to correcting someone. And so much of the time we have real criminals running our street and operating in our street when they could be filling the prison to be getting corrected instead of being corrected. That would solve the problem. And it's not being solved because we have so many people being locked up for the wrong reasons.
It's become a business. You've got shareholders involved. Like you said, Wall Street, you've got a number of these that are publicly traded companies. I want to take a second here to talk about bullying that you mentioned in your book, Walking Free from Bondage to Liberty. Gregory Oliver, our guest on the program. What would you like to say to us about bullying?
You know, we in our, growing up, I guess, in schools, and we have let bullies, you know, slip through the cracks. I think sometimes that, you know, we find our bullies in the business world. We find them in the police system. We find them in the judges system. We find them in the prosecutors and our court system. So, you know, people who have either been a bully or they have been bullied. And we have allowed this in our society to become the condition of things. Because when you look at it, even the news media say, hey, the president need to use his bully pulpit. Well, the president isn't supposed to use a bully pulpit. He's supposed to lead the people. And so that shows that we have become accustomed. Right now, even in the news today, we see that the Taliban has bullied a whole country because people have allowed them to do so. And we need to stand up against bullies properly. And I think when we do that, we'll find ourselves, you know, even though we don't have to always take a physical stand against them, sometimes we just need to be a firmer stand against them. And when we do that, we'll find them to say, okay, well, this bully that's doing this, he see that he's really insecure in his own life, and that's the reason he's probably bullying anyway. And so if we would do and deal with those situations, then we would probably have less bullies around. And I worked with a lady here in the Grand Rapids area that started a project called Anti-Bullying to help young children, because many of our young children were committing suicide because of bullies.
Yes.
We had many of the young children that was going into school shooting people because they had been bullied and they didn't know how to handle the problem. They took a gun in their hand and they went back and bullied another way. And that's wrong. And sometimes we got experts out here we pay millions and billions of dollars to, and they sit up and say, hey, you know, this is the way to solve the problem. They create these programs when really the fact of it is they need to get to the heart of the situation and try to help these young people to learn how to solve these problems. Walking Free will help some people to see that you can solve problems in a way that's more productive than going out there and putting a weapon in your hand or going out there and bullying somebody back, you know, because Jesus never told us to, you know, smack somebody on the face when
exactly,
you know, he say, turn the other cheek. I mean, it sounds weak, but the Lord has taught me meekness is not weakness. Being meek is saying I had to do that in prison. And you that's a no-no. That's against the code. You can't be weak in prison, because if you're weak, they'll make it and put a dress on you. And I refuse to have a dress put on me.
Yes. There's so much wisdom in what you say there. In fact, you're talking about bullying and what we can do to help young people. Is that one of the takeaways you want people to have from Walking Free? I got a minute or so left here. What do you hope we take away from reading Walking Free? And I think the bullying part is just one of many different lessons that you talk about.
Well, the thing of it is I hope that they can understand, first of all, like I said, it's a spiritual adventure. And then when you're looking through things and you're going through it, like I don't consider myself a prolific writer, but I thank God that he gave me the opportunity to write this book and to share my thoughts and to be able to tell people how you can solve some of the difficult things in your life. And I think one instance, I was down in St. Louis a couple of days ago, and I ran into a guy because I had to go through fighting the VA for certain situations and different things. And this guy told me he gave up. I said, why would you give up? And I was letting him know that there's a right way in fighting things. You can't give up. If you give up, they win. You have to get up and you have to start looking at ways to go. There's some answer to this problem. And that's why I love mathematics. I did well in math than any other thing, because I learned that math teaches us how to solve problems. But the greatest thing that I have learned in life, and I want them to take away from Walking Free, is that the Lord God Almighty is the problem solver. And when we allow him to reside on the inside of our hearts and our lives, no matter what problems we have, he can solve them. And we look to him. When we don't have an answer, we can touch in and tap into his wisdom and understand, and then we can begin to solve the problems we face with each and every day.
Well said. It would have been so easy to throw the towel in at any point, and you would still be fighting the or accepting, you know, God forbid, the sentence that you were under. But you didn't do that. And there's so many lessons from Gregory's book. Our guest is Gregory Oliver. The book is Walking Free from Bondage to Liberty. You'll find it, of course, at Amazon, the usual places, published by proisle publishing.com. That's P-R-O-I-S-L-E. And Greg's got his own website, gregoliverwalkingfree.com. So be sure that you go on the website, check it out. His wife, Bonnie Lou Oliver, the companion book to this is Faith Walk, A Walk from Darkness to Light. You'll find both of these books very powerful, very moving, very inspirational books. This one is Walking Free. Gregory, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much. I really appreciate this. You are a very good writer. Are you working on another book? Anything you're working on now?
I don't want to tell the title, you know, share it right now. But yes, I am. I have another book in mind. And I think that it's going to be really touching when it comes forward. Matter of fact, it was really given to my heart way before. But I've learned not to get ahead of God in situations. And even this book had sit in dormant for so long. And my wife would say, hey, when are you going to write the book? And I would tell people, hey, I'm writing a book. She'd say, when? And so finally, you know, by the grace of God, thank God for a good mate and how he brings the right person into your life to do the things that you need to do and to motivate you. And so, yes, I look forward to writing another book and then hopefully that it'll come forward to help people in a lot of ways.
You don't need the title. It's just good to hear that you're going to do it, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about that as well. This book is Walking Free, From Bondage to Liberty by Gregory Oliver. Book available Amazon, the usual places. Greg's website is gregoliverwalkingfree.com. Information on our website for how you can order the book and get information. Gregory, thank you so much for being with us on the program. I really appreciate you telling your story. Thank you for being so honest and being with us.
Thank you, sir, and I appreciate you accepting us on the program, sir.
It has been our pleasure. Gregory Oliver, our guest. The book is Walking Free, From Bondage to Liberty. His website, gregoliverwalkingfree.com. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.